Welcome to Recovering From Everything, a podcast for everyone who has ever had anything happen to them ever. I have a message from myself to you. My friends, no, the last podcast was not about you. I promise. Unless otherwise explicitly stated, it was definitely not about you. I've had a bunch of apology messages and it's making me feel guilty. So I'm sorry if you felt like shit listening to the last podcast called Don't Be a Dick to Your Friend in Recovery. Swear on my life, it's not about you. But I'm like not that sorry, which I'll explain in a minute. While I did use some of my own experiences, I definitely also used the collective experience of the thousands of people in early recovery that have come in and out of my life and most recently slid into my DMs before I recorded that pod last week. So it's not about you, it's about all of them and me, sort of. But if that episode did fuck you up, which I know it did to a few people, congratulations. Good work. This is why I'm not sorry. To me, this means that you have a modicum of self-awareness at the very least and the desire to grow and evolve. Fuck yes. Fuck yes for that. The biggest and best changes that I ever make in my life have always been when something really fucked me up. Actually, I'm reminded of an episode I did with my friend Felicia where we went through our lists of shit people have said to me that I really didn't want to hear, but also how beneficial all those things were. So if the last episode messed with your head a little bit, pat yourself on the back. You are capable of self-reflection, which honestly seems like a bit of a luxury because some people would rather not self-reflect. And you've shown yourself that you have a desire for personal evolution. Hell yes. Hell yes. I'm proud of you because that kind of work is not easy. Also, you're probably a really kind and compassionate person who takes into account other people's experiences when they're in your company. And like, that's super nice. Don't ever change that. I'm still learning how to do that. I am excited to see what changes for you guys, what changes you're going to make when you encounter people in recovery. Actually, one of the people who messaged me said that she remembers when I was waitressing. I was in early recovery, so between like my first and second year. And I don't remember this, but she does. She said that she came into the restaurant. She asked me what my favorite drink on the menu was. And I said to her, I don't drink. She said, I said, I'm actually sober. So, okay, first I felt embarrassed because I feel like as a waitress, like I probably should have had a few stock answers for that so I could at least recommend some things to the guests, but it's too late for that now. But second, she said that she always remembered that encounter because it made her think of how to reframe that question. So it's a bit more generic, like, you know, what would you recommend with the fish or whatever? And I love that so much. And it's like, it's those moments of discomfort that have helped me change my own thoughts and behaviors. So I love it so much when it happens to other people. And like, sometimes I joke that I'm a bit of a sadist because yes, I know how uncomfortable you are right now. Oh, I know. But it makes me happy for you because I know that I'm also witnessing your evolution in this, you know, small interaction that we just had. What an honor. I love that. So for all the people who messaged me their apologies, thank you, but it's not necessary because the episode was not about you. Unless I gave a specific example of when it was about you. But these messages did coincide nicely with the topic I had planned for this week, which is anxiety. Well, anxiety and fear, which to me are the same thing. So let's do it. My biggest indicator that I have been stuck in anxiety is when I think people are mad at me or were mad at me or were unhappy with me, whatever. So when all these people reached out to me to say sorry if they were ever a dick to me, I felt like I had done something wrong. Like I felt guilty for recording a podcast that made you feel guilty, you know? Uh-oh, I'm in an anxiety spiral, right? That's the very first indicator to me. What is anxiety? It's one of those buzzwords that gets thrown around a lot. So the internet defines anxiety as this: a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. What a soft little definition for what is otherwise a very heavy feeling. Anxiety to me, and this is the way I've thought about it for the last few years, and it's very helpful. Anxiety to me is a fear of the future, to put it plainly. The future could be 1 minute from now, days, weeks, years, whatever. So I knew that my anxiety had been triggered from these apology messages because I was scared of what would happen next. Does that make sense? So another example, when my phone rings and it's a number I don't know, or God forbid it's an unknown number or a private number, I automatically think that I am about to be in trouble for something. You know that physical feeling when you're anxious, like your heart beats a little faster and harder, maybe you hold your breath, all of the, you know, neurons in your brain are firing at the same time as you try to figure out in that like 1 second what you did wrong and when and what this call could be about. Fear of a phone call. I used to get this with emails too. And this isn't so much an issue for me anymore, like the phone calls, because I live a pretty honest life, one with like integrity, but I just want to give you an example. The last few years, it's shown up for me in this specific way, but I think it's always shown up for me this way. I'm just like aware of it now. It shows up as a fear that people are mad at me. So like a change in tone, a period where there should be an exclamation mark, any hint of passive aggression, you know, my nightly inventory of things that happened that day and the mistakes I found in my own behavior. Someone starting a message with "so," and then I have to wait for like the rest of the message. Spiral, spiral, spiral. These like tiny little things trigger my nervous system into fucking survival mode. I don't know what's about to happen, right? If you're mad at me, what does that mean to me and my life? So I should note that this is not so much an issue anymore. It is sometimes, but not as prevalent as it used to be. Like, it's just to a significantly lesser degree. But up until like the last year or two, these things would absolutely debilitate me. I mean, the difference now is that like it's more of like an uh-oh, and I feel not as frantic as I would have in the past. Why do I, an adult who lives an aforementioned honest life with integrity, who is responsible, is fairly self-aware, and does not try to hurt people, why do I lose my mind if I think someone is mad at me, right? Like, I'm a grown-up. The only person I can truly get in trouble with at this stage of my life is like the police or maybe like the, you know, Canadian Revenue Agency. And I would definitely remember committing a crime, and I don't commit crimes. So why do I fear so much the thought of someone being mad at me? Like, why am I so afraid of what people are thinking about me? If you guessed childhood shit, you are correct. It's old childhood shit that I am dragging into the present. Not consciously, it just exists because I haven't corrected that pattern of thinking yet. So my unhealed shit manifests itself by telling me that everyone is mad at me. Let's break this down. Okay, let's take it back, way back. what would happen if someone was mad at me when I was little? If an adult didn't like the way I was behaving, what would happen? Actually, some sort of punishment, right? Parents, teachers, other adults, we'd get punished, we'd get criticized, all that, you know, good shit that fucks us up. What else though? Like, let's go like a bit deeper. If my parents decided that they don't like me or they're not happy with me, what would that mean to my tiny child brain? They might leave me. If my parent left me, what would happen to me? I would die. Like literally, I would die. I couldn't feed or clothe myself. I couldn't put a roof over my own head. I would literally die. So to tie this all together, when I'm anxious today that someone is mad at me, it triggers old conclusions, you know, chemically, psychologically, that get summed up as a literal physical threat to me. And if I think something is a threat, I feel fear that I might die. I know this sounds very dramatic, but my nervous system is very dramatic. And like, I know that this doesn't make sense to me as an adult who literally feeds and clothes herself and puts a roof over my own head. I know this, but it takes a bunch of work and a bunch of practice to actually feel calmer. Also, if someone is mad at me, it means I'm bad, right? If I am bad, if I make too many mistakes, then everyone around me will leave me and I will be alone. All of this happens in like a split fucking second as I'm, you know, looking at the private number on my phone. Like, isn't the brain just wild? And what happens next is I have to spring to action to protect myself from dying due to a phone call or the person in front of me feeling displeased with my existence. And I protect myself in a few ways. I fight. So I defend myself, I lie, I yell, I manipulate, I try to take back control of the situation by controlling how you see me, right? You're wrong, it didn't happen this way, whatever. Flight, so I avoid everything until it goes away. I'll avoid you, I'll avoid the thoughts or feelings I have about the situation, and if the thoughts and feelings don't go away, I go back into fight mode and have fake arguments in my head. Or in another attempt at flight and checking the fuck out of this situation, I'll try to control things around me. So like I'll furiously clean, I'll micromanage my life. Shit, I'll micromanage your life. Anything to not have to face my own feelings. I'm pretty sure this is why I drank and did drugs for so long. Another way I protect myself is I freeze like a deer in headlights. This is how I look at my phone when an unknown number is calling me, or if you're expressing displeasure at something I have done and I'm just staring at you motionless and unblinking, that's what me freezing looks like. I'm hyper aware of what is happening, but I look frozen as all of my brain cells fire off as I evaluate this potential threat to my life. Or I fawn. So I do and say anything to make you feel better. I people please the shit out of you and I'll make every attempt to make the threat go away and make myself feel safe again. And let me remind you that all of these things basically boil down to fear, that there is a threat to my existence. Because if we play this tape to the end, if I do like a and then story, it all comes back to and then I die, right? I am of the human species and ensuring my survival is like my number one instinct. So if someone is mad at me or doesn't like me, for example, and then they don't want to be around me, and then maybe other people won't want to hang around me either because I'm not that likable, and then I'll lose everyone at some point, and then I'll be alone, and then I'll die with nothing and no one. I told you, our nervous systems are very dramatic little storytellers. So What is the antidote to this? What is the secret that I have found that stops me from spiraling so super hard? Again, this is my experience, but the antidote for my anxiety has been self-trust, trusting myself that no matter what anyone feels about me, I will continue to provide myself with a happy little life. What, Kinga? That's so dumb. No, I know it sounds so dumb, but just try it. Give yourself experiences where you can trust yourself. This is one of the benefits of traveling alone, to be honest. I always have to keep myself safe and comfortable and make sure that I'm enjoying myself. But even like pay your bills on time, go grocery shopping, tell the truth, take care of your body and your mind, make your own appointments, stand up for yourself, you know, don't allow people to treat you poorly, all of that. If you could split yourself into two people right now and you had to look at this other version of you, could you trust that that person will ensure your survival, but also B, trust that that person will give you a happy little life? If I can trust myself that no matter what, I will be fine, it makes the opinions of others a little less heavy, a little less consuming, and it makes it easier for me to approach these situations. But if my entire life, my mood, my self-perception is centered on how I think you perceive me, and you're having a bad day or you're kind of grumpy, I will conclude that that is all about me. Like your existence has nothing to do with me, just as my existence is not centered around you, but that is the conclusion that I will draw. A few years ago, I started asking myself, is there even the slightest, tiniest chance that this has nothing to do with me? So let's say you're at work and you see two people talking and one of them looks over at you. You know that feeling where you're like, they're talking shit. They must be, right? They're tearing a strip off me. Ask yourself, is there even the slightest, tiniest chance that this has nothing to do with me? The answer, unequivocally, obviously, is yes. There is the slightest, tiniest chance. Hold on to that slight, tiny chance with a death grip. Hold on to that. Your human experience definitely has very little to do with me. I have to repeat that to myself a lot. Your experience has very little, if not nothing, to do with me. I'm not like the sun or something, you know, like honestly, how important do I think I am that if I see people having a conversation, it must be about me? I am not that important. This has helped me shift my thinking, and it's shown up in some like really cool ways. One, I've noticed that I get to focus more on your experience and not on my experience of what you're thinking of me and how you feel about me and what I've done. And oh my God, how's my hair? You know, if I know that no matter what comes out of your mouth, I will be just fucking fine, I can focus on you a bit more. So like, hey, you're kind of grumpy today. Is everything okay with you? I'm not spending all this time thinking, what do they think about me right now? Because like, why would you be thinking about me right now? That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, if I'm not thinking about myself so much, I can actually be there for you and join in on your experience rather than having a whole other world playing out in my head as you're talking. And if you are upset with me and you express that to me, thank you so much for doing that, honestly. I can listen way better to what upset you and find compassion for your experience when my head isn't switching to fight mode and I'm like loudly trying to defend my actions and convince you that your experience is wrong, you know? So like even if someone pays me a compliment, I'm no longer thinking, do they secretly hate me? Like what do they actually think about me? I'm just like, oh, hey, cool. That was a nice thing you just said. Thank you so much for giving me that. And even with more critical people who tell me things they think I should adjust about myself, I'm like, okay, is this something I like about myself? Is this something I can work on? Is this something that I want to work on? Is this how I want people to feel around me? I'm not jumping to the defense as quickly or as severely as I would have in the past because I am way more comfortable in my abilities to accept myself, make sure that I'm happy, make sure that I'm comfortable, all of that. Like I trust myself. And I may or may not change, you know, but that's up to me. And those are like nice little byproducts of managing my anxiety, of enforcing self-trust. And the anxiety is very much mine, and it's my responsibility to manage it the best that I can. And like I realize I'm using very trivial examples of anxiety here, but I honestly have been keeping track of how it shows up for me, that fear, day to day, and it shows up in very trivial ways. And the ways I try to regain control also show up in very trivial ways. Like if I wake up and I already feel anxious, like I try to regain control by, you know, sending emails really early in the morning, or like I'll overschedule myself, or I'll overthink a conversation I had, like really average stuff in response to me feeling fearful of the future. But then like I'll catch myself and I'll be like, oh, I'm anxious. Like I think that there's a threat to me right now. What's been going on that I think this right now? What can I change? Have I been avoiding something, postponing it? I need to do something to practice self-trust to combat this fear of the future. What I cannot do is look to other people to make me feel better. But honestly, if you have texted me in the last 3 years randomly just to say, I'm not mad at you, bless your sweet soul, because I probably really, really needed to hear it. I should also definitely touch on like diagnosed generalized anxiety disorder, which often requires daily medication, medication for sleep, in addition to constant feelings of being overwhelmed with worry. And the disorder part is when your life becomes disorderly, like a lot of stuff is unmanageable because you're just so overwhelmed with fear. If you've got to take meds, do it up. Do it up if you feel you might need some. I am on an antidepressant that I've been on for a year now, since my last bout of unmanaged anxiety that led to frequent panic attacks and the eventual crumbling and rebuilding of my life. The meds are for anxiety and depression, and I quite like them. I mean, I'm on the lowest dosage, so it's not like, you know, I'm never anxious and I'm never depressed. No, sometimes I'm like, should I increase the dosage? Because things haven't felt very great recently. But I am on a super low dosage and I committed to doing it for a year, and it's been a year, and I think I'm just going to stay on them a little bit longer because I know that I need to practice more of the self-trust that I've been doing all the time. Just while my thinking patterns become more second nature, I'm gonna stay on these meds. Okay, I feel like this episode was confusing as fuck. So let me summarize. Anxiety, the physical and psychological symptoms of it, can be seen as a fear of something. Notice what your fears are focused on during the day. Like, find your own patterns. I know that my patterns are people being mad at me because historically that hasn't gone super well. And historically I've been quite problematic and have had many people mad at me. So my patterns show up as I worry a lot about what others think of me, whether they're mad at me. And I know that if I'm fearing something because I am of the human species, I'm likely perceiving someone as a threat to my existence. Like, my life right now, as I know it, you're a threat to it. Private caller, okay? Email from a person I don't know. You are a threat to my existence, period, when there should have been a exclamation mark. Okay? Sounds ridiculous, I know. So the threat to my existence, you know, I'll be unloved, you'll cause me to be broke, whatever. The antidote to this for me has been to build self-trust. So I put myself in small daily situations where I can learn to trust myself and where I get to witness myself taking care of myself. Easy peasy, right? But the point is to remove this like emotional dependency I have on other people, because I'm not a child anymore and I literally don't need to depend on anyone to survive right now. And I start letting myself know that no matter what happens, I will get us through this. Girl, I'll get us through this, not only alive, but I will make sure that we are happy. I got you. So I do things that make me uncomfortable. I keep myself safe and I make sure that I'm my biggest advocate. And I should tell you that I confidently, with enthusiasm, answer private number phone calls now. In the past, it would have been someone trying to collect payment on a bill that I definitely did not pay. But that is no longer. I guess I should get through tax season first, because this is my first tax season as my own business and I am uncomfortable and I have postponed calling my accountant to start doing my taxes because I feel fear about what may happen. Not that I've done anything wrong necessarily, but just because it's money and I've had a very checkered past with handling money, and I always kind of keep that idea of myself in the back of my mind despite being not terrible with money in the most recent years, but I digress. I will call my accountant. When I saw him a few months ago, he said I was, quote, very organized. So maybe I should just remember that instead of letting my outdated thoughts about how I handle money keep me from doing my taxes this year. And look at the actual evidence in my bank account where I'm like, oh, okay. You know, you've had a couple of questionable choices, but generally, Kinga, honey, you're fucking killing it. Okay, I promise I will call my accountant. Okay, I called my accountant. I'm meeting him tomorrow. Guys, I realized this was a very, like, generalized yet somehow oddly specific podcast on anxiety and on fear. And there's no way that I could get all of the information or experiences or solutions that, I've ever come across into one half an hour podcast. I know that. Forgive me. It's fine. But I did my best. And I know that some of the experiences I have had are pretty relatable. You know, something like punctuation in a text message, I know, affects other people too. So just remind yourself that there is no imminent threat to you because you've got your own back and you can handle anything that comes at you with ease and successfully. Just to reiterate, no, this wasn't about you. No, I am not mad at you. You are an amazing, responsible, loving adult, and you can trust that you'll always have your own back. I will usually have your back, but most importantly, you'll have your own back. So get the fuck out of your own way and go do that. Love you. Thanks for listening. Have a good week.